So I'm just going to go through a short intro for anyone who might be coming across me for the first time. My name is Busi. I moved to Canada in 2019 from South Africa with my husband and two kids. I've worked in tech now for around 10 years, and I have been impacted by the tech layoffs this year. I know they started sometime around last year because that's when I started seeing people share that they've been laid off. But after I got laid off, LinkedIn for me personally started becoming very draining because it seemed as though every time I went on there, someone was sharing that they have been laid off. And I started seeing how it can impact people who are migrants, especially very differently. And that led me to want to talk about the implications of getting laid off, especially if you are a migrant, and how you can prepare yourself. Losing your job can be very challenging for anyone, really. But if you are a migrant, it can bring additional hurdles beyond that loss of income. So let's talk about it.
I am your host, Busi Global, and you're listening to Keep Your Life on Track, a podcast where practical and actionable guidance is shared for the aspiring and current migrant, helping you navigate the process of pursuing your goals and thriving in a foreign land while taking care of yourself, with the underlying values to everything we do being trust, responsibility, accountability, collaboration, and kindness.
We are streaming today from LinkedIn, YouTube, and Twitter. Just before we get into everything, I just want to make a disclaimer. I am not an immigration consultant or even a financial advisor. So please do consult the experts if you are looking for expert advice. Anything shared on here is based on my experience, things I've seen, things that I've learned as somebody who has lived in different countries. Let us get into the implications of losing your job as a migrant. Now, one of the things that I wanted to highlight here was, depending on the type of visa that you move, if you are moving to a different country, you may find that you have a very short time frame when it comes to losing your job and then needing to find another job before you have to move. And this is something I saw come across LinkedIn a couple of times, where people who are based in the US, specifically on the H-1B visa, realized that they have 60 days before they needed to move back home. And for a number of them, it seemed like they had not really thought about the potential of losing a job while they are living in the USA. And some of them had made very permanent decisions, like selling off their houses and just uprooting their entire lives and their entire families to the US, only to lose a job, and they've purchased a new house, and now they need to pack up and leave in 60 days if they can't find employment. So that is one that I wanted to start off with, which was very big, that it's so important just to understand what the terms of your visa or the status in the country that you are in are. I personally moved as a permanent resident here in Canada, and I moved without a job. Both myself and my husband didn't have jobs when we moved. So losing my job didn't mean that I now have a specific amount of time to try search for another job before I can move on to the next one. So that is one thing that I think is very important. If you are still looking into moving, or if you have already moved, just look into the terms of your visa. What would it mean if you lost your job? Would you have a time frame, short time frame to move? If you are somebody who maybe is moving to Canada and even different parts of the world, and you are moving on a work permit, you could either be on an open work permit or a closed work permit. Now, if your work permit is open and you lose your job, this typically means you would be able to look for work with another employer and be able to start working using that work permit. In Canada specifically, it might be different in other countries, and I do encourage that you do check that. In Canada, with the open work permit, you would be able to stay in the country for the duration of the validity of your permit. So while your permit is still valid, you can live in the country and look for work. And when you do find work, start working. If, however, you have a closed work permit, that means your employment and your visa specifically is tied to that employer that you are working for. So if you would lose your job in Canada, you don't have to immediately leave and go back to your home country before you can come back after maybe finding another job. But if you are going to look for a job and then you find a job, you would not be able to start until you have applied for a new work permit or convert the work permit that you have that's closed to an open one. But you have the option of staying in the country for the duration of the validity of the work visa that you have. It's just those different nuances that I think are very important to just look into. If you haven't moved yet, make sure you understand what they would mean if you are, you know, going to be looking at that. And then Tammy says, Tammy here watching from the gym. This is my husband. Thank you for watching, Tammy. And then Simpiwe says, are IT jobs still in demand since the layoffs? I would say yes, they are, because as much as there are people who are getting laid off, there are still people who are getting hired. It can also be, I think right now the big difference is how competitive the market is. So there are companies that are still hiring, but because there are so many people who have just been laid off by so many companies, there's a lot of competition. And we're going to talk a bit later about how you can help prepare yourself. And I just saw this comment, which is so exciting. Chichi says, hello, watching from Etobicoke. We're going to have Chichi on the channel. She recently moved to Canada. I think it's like around 2 months ago now. So if you would have any questions for somebody who just moved, drop them in the comments, but I'll make sure I share on the socials so you can have your questions. And when I have a conversation with her, I can help. Just ask those questions so you can hear from someone who just moved freshly. She's from Zambia, but she lived in South Africa for quite a while before moving this side. So I'm really looking at, I'm excited to have the conversation with her. Okay, so the next implication that I want us to look into is if you are or would be planning to get pregnant during a time that you would be a migrant somewhere. There are countries where laying off a pregnant woman is against the law. And if you are somebody who is coming from a country like this, which India is an example of that kind of a country, you can be shocked if you move to a country, you don't think to look into the laws that have to do with being pregnant and being laid off, and you find yourself in a situation where you're expecting a new life and you are now being laid off from your job and it's completely different to what you are used to from home. So that is another point I would say, make a note to look at this. What are the labor laws when it comes to pregnancy? And I know for a lot of countries, I would hope it's like the entire world, you cannot, it should be against the law to just lay off someone purely because they are pregnant. So even in the countries where you can be laid off pregnant, the layoff would not be because of your pregnancy, but it would be because there's a business need, operational reasons, whatever the thing is, but not directly tied to your pregnancy. But I know that there are countries where if you are pregnant, you cannot be laid off. So just make sure you are looking into that if you are somebody who is coming to a country or you're going to another country or you currently live somewhere and you're not very sure how the laws work. Don't assume that they are going to be the same as the laws back where you are from and what you are used to. And then the next potential implication that you could see with getting laid off is career setbacks. And we are going to touch on how you can prepare yourself for the career setbacks that might arise from you losing your job, especially as an immigrant. If you are somebody who loses their job, you might find yourself having to take a job that is lower than your current skill level. If you are not finding something that is in your field, or find yourself having to move to another field completely just because you need to make ends meet. Because at the end of the day, you need a place to stay. You need a home over your head. You might have kids who are going to school. There's so many things that could be happening around you, and you need to make sure that you have an income that is able to sustain your life. And if you are not finding work in a very timely manner, as things currently are in the tech space, things are very competitive and it might be more challenging and take a lot more time if you are in an industry that has what is happening right now in the tech space. So we will be talking about how you can potentially prepare yourself so you limit the number of setbacks that you can face, especially from a career perspective. Okay, so the next point that can come from being laid off as a migrant that I wanted to talk about is the social isolation that can come from it. A number of you, if you are somebody who is thinking about migrating, maybe you have already, you might know that from a social aspect, depending on where you are moving to, it can be a bit more difficult just to get to know new people, maybe even make new friends. And if you are someone who only has their social setting tied to their workplace. If you lose that job, you would be cutting yourself from that social interactions and the people that you usually have those social interactions with. So it's very important in this regard to be very mindful of being intentional about making connections outside of your workplace. This might mean you have friends, you have people who are your colleagues that you do now consider more than colleagues. Make it a point to meet each other outside of the workplace. Interact and engage in different activities that might be taking place in your community. Find out about events that are going on. Especially, I would say, if you are moving as a single person, it might be a bit different, the social isolation, if you move as a family, because you already will have other people around you that you can interact with. So make sure that you are being intentional about making those relationships and keeping a circle around you that you do meet outside of working hours. Because if you would be laid off and you are still that person who is relying on going to work to have people around you, you can feel very isolated if it happens that you lose your job. Lillian says, what are the laws in Canada concerning hiring or firing pregnant ladies? I don't know about the specific laws, but you can lose your job while you are pregnant. Like, not because you are pregnant, but if the business needs to cut down on people and you are getting impacted, there's no specific law that would be saying, no, this person is pregnant, then you can't lay them off. But just look into it. I think, like, do your own search on the Canadian website. And that is the website I always will point you to, whether you still want to move to Canada or you already live in Canada. Go to the government's website and you will find a resource that will tell you the specifics of every single thing. But as far as I am aware, and if anyone knows different, please do comment in the comment section and let us know. But you can potentially lose a job if you are pregnant, but not because of your pregnancy, just because of pure business reasons. The next point that I want us to look at, if you are somebody who is looking at migrating somewhere else or you already have moved, it would be discrimination and xenophobia. I am somebody who is from South Africa, and I am not blind to how some foreign nationals can be treated who live and work in South Africa. And if you do lose your job and you would have to be looking for another job, and just depending on what's happening at that time in that country, you could find yourself in a very difficult situation when you have to integrate back into the workplace as somebody who is a foreign national in certain countries. So I think just making sure you understand what it means to live in that particular country, what the history of that particular country is, it will greatly help you in not being shocked when certain things happen. Because we can say we wouldn't want XYZ to happen or XYZ shouldn't be happening, but it doesn't stop it from happening, right? So when you are doing that research into moving to a particular place, or you've already moved, but you never really thought of looking up things related to discrimination and xenophobia and how they might potentially impact you when you move, make sure that you are looking into that. Now, let's move into how to prepare yourself. So if you are somebody who is going to be a migrant, you are already a migrant, and you are thinking, okay, it might happen, you know, because the unforeseen can happen when you least expect it. So one of the first things that you can do is make sure that you are understanding all the terms of your visa and your status in the country that you are in. Know what the potential risks are if you would lose your job. So for example, if you are moving with a H-1B visa in the USA, you would know that, okay, if I lose my job, I have 60 days to find a new job or else I need to leave. What would be my plan? And prepare and think about that worst case scenario, which would be, I don't get this job within the next 60 days. What's my plan? KK says, hi, Busi, how's discrimination and xenophobia in Canada or USA, especially for Black migrants? My personal experience here in Canada, I have not had any xenophobic experiences, and I'm speaking about my own experiences, right? So there might be somebody who has experienced that, but it hasn't been my experience. I haven't seen the xenophobia from a discrimination perspective, especially for Black people. I can't say on that front as well, I have experienced a lot. There's been one workplace where there were situations where, you know, I just found myself being left out of certain things. There'd be meetings that I'd need to be a part of. I wouldn't be told about them. but it was isolated also specifically to that one company. And one of the things I would say, if you are looking for a job and a company that you're going to work for, looking for diversity that already exists in that company is important, especially in their management level. So if you're looking at the people that they have at different departments, you're looking at even maybe the people that sit in their board, it doesn't represent the diversity that you would like to see. And when I look back at that particular company, I mean, I looked at it and I saw that, okay, it wasn't there, but I never thought that it would end up trickling and, you know, affecting me in my work and the way that I was able to do things. If you do, however, find yourself in that kind of a situation, or you are in a situation where you realize that you are being treated a little different from everybody else around you who looks different to you, that is time, I would say, for you to start exploring and looking at other opportunities. But it's happened. I don't want to say small scale, because that's just making something that is actually a big deal, making it seem like it's not a big deal. But I have experienced it. One company out of the four that I have worked at, like that discrimination portion of things, that's how I would describe it, but not the xenophobia. Okay, and then Pindile says, hi, B. Hi, Pindile. In a case where you have bought property while on a work permit and you get laid off, are you able to rent out your property while you return home? That is an interesting question, and I honestly don't know if you would be able to do that. I would say in Canada, you can. I saw people who were based in the US stating that they needed to sell their property, and I don't know if for them it was a personal decision with in terms of opening up funds maybe they might need, or it was a law by like required. But in Canada, there are people who do own property here that are not necessarily living this side. So I would say also that's something that you can look into. Just go to canada.ca and have a look at that. But I'm not 100% sure. I don't want to lie. I am not 100% sure if you are on a work permit. But I know if you are a permanent resident, if you would be moving as a permanent resident, then you wouldn't have to sell your place just because you kind of want to go somewhere else. But on a work permit, I am not entirely sure. Okay, and then the next item that I want us to look at, it's building an emergency fund. And this applies to, you know, it applies to everyone, even if you're not a migrant. Building an emergency fund is very important and crucial to help you prepare for anything that might come up that you have not expected. So you remember when we spoke about the career setbacks? If you have an emergency fund, you would be giving yourself enough time to be able to look for that next opportunity that still fits your skills and fits the type of job that you want, and not slow down your career trajectory by moving into fields that are not related. But if you are somebody who doesn't have an emergency fund built up, you wouldn't have that luxury of giving yourself a bit of time to look for jobs. So it's very important that you build an emergency fund. And this is not financial advice, but look into building that and make sure that you can look after yourself in the event that you would lose your job for maybe 3 months, even 6 months. If you can stretch it a bit longer than that, then do that. But, and I also do say, before you start maybe looking into like putting your money into a whole bunch of different investments, tying it up in those spaces, make sure you have that emergency fund where if it happens that you lose your job, you're not stressed about, well, how am I going to pay my rent, because you haven't prepped even 1 month of your being able to look after yourself if you don't necessarily have a job. And if you are in Canada, I personally use EQ Bank and Simply Financial's high interest savings account. Absolutely love both of them. And I have links in the description if you would like to sign up and start saving. You can start very little if you don't have anything at all. With Simply Financial right now, they are giving up to a bit over 5% back in interest on any money that you will put in there up until August. And then they will revert back to their normal interest rate, which is still higher than what you would get if you would start saving at a bank and the saving pockets that they would get you. On EQ Bank's side, I absolutely love how I can section things off. So if I if you want to have, for example, a travel fund where you're putting money specifically for your vacations and any travel that you want to have, you can have a specific bucket for that. If you want to put things for maintenance, maybe you already have a house and you want to know that if anything happens in my house, I have a little bucket that I can dip in and be able to use. And I mean, these can all be emergencies, but you really can get very granular in terms of how you are looking at each savings that you are, or each thing that you are saving towards. So Lorraine says, what is the retrenchment or layoff procedure in Canada? Does it include severance payout? Companies are not, they're not obliged by law. They don't have to give you a severance. That is something that is specific to each company. So if the company that you are working for is giving you a severance package, that is totally up to the company. But the government does not say people have to be given X in terms of what they get from the job. The next way that you can help yourself prepare is by seeking out networking opportunities. So this could be, maybe you are already working. If there are any events in your workplace, make sure you are going to those events. You are getting to know people outside of the actual work and meetings that you have. In the community that you live in, make sure that you are attending. You are looking up what events are coming up in the community, and you are networking with people, getting to know people. So by the time there would be something that you need, you're not thinking to yourself, oh, I've been living here for 5 years and I know absolutely no one or absolutely nothing about the space that I'm in. And then the other place is online. So looking for any events that might be relevant. Maybe it's in the field of work that you like. It might be in the country you want to migrate to for something that is not work related. It's an online event. You can come on, you can network with people, connect with people on different social networks. If you are somebody who has moved, I think it can be very difficult also depending on the time zones. Just keeping in contact with friends that you already have who are in different parts of the world, your friends, your family, but just make sure that you are keeping in contact with people. And that is something that can be very helpful when you get to a time where you might need that support or that connection, you know, even if it's just somebody who's going to have a chat with you and listen to the stuff that you are going through, and you just need it from a friendship level, you know, not necessarily like seeking any professional advice or somebody who's in that space, who works in that space. So make sure you are seeking those networking opportunities. You are connecting with people online, and help yourself get ready if there would be a need for you to reach out to someone and say, hey, I'm in this particular situation. I'm looking for this type of help maybe. And you know that it's somebody who might be in a field or in a situation where they could potentially be able to help you. Mahlatsi says, hi, Busi. What is the difference between South Africa and Canada layoffs? So in my experience, I've seen a layoff happen when I worked in South Africa. I was not directly impacted by that layoff, but I saw people getting laid off. I will just say, I don't know if that's how it works in every single company in South Africa, but I found that in South Africa, people knew ahead of time. Like there were a number of different sessions and meetings that, and things that were required by the government for companies to do if they were going to be laying people off. There was just a process to it before it got to that point. And there would be a group of people who knew that they might be affected in the company that I was working for specifically. So there was a group of people that were notified. They were called in for a particular meeting. I don't know of the exact things that they were told, but they had a bit of time where they knew that I could potentially be impacted by a layoff that is coming up. And then here in Canada, and again, if it's happened like this, like in my experience specifically, I don't think there's a specific law that says you need to give people a heads up. Like, hey, this might be happening and you're in a group that might be impacted. Where it's not everyone who's going to be impacted, but if you're part of this group, you will be impacted. Because I was on PTO, just to give you an example of what happened with me, but also... So Canada laws apply, right? But the company I was working for was a US-based company. I was on PTO and I found out that I've been laid off. So I wasn't even actively working at the time that I found out. So yeah, that's the main difference that I would say I saw. That in South Africa, people knew that something was happening, but here it literally can happen. You can wake up one day and you see that you don't have access to your stuff, and that's how you've lost your job. And even in the US, I heard of a lot of people, and the posts that I was telling you were very draining for me when I was going on LinkedIn and just seeing post after post, people detailing their experiences with how they got laid off. There was a particular lady who went to the office where she was working. And I mean, when you wake up in the morning, just think about it. No one is waking up thinking, I'm going to check my email first just to see if I still have a job. And then I'm going to get ready to go to the office. You generally just get up, get ready, go to the office, which is what would have happened with me if I was going to the office that day and I was working. She woke up, got ready, went to the office. And then when she gets to the gate, the security gate where she has to tag her card, so it lets her in. It's not working. She speaks to the security guard, and the security guard is asking her kindly, ma'am, please check your email. And the lady is just confused, like, what is going on, you know? And that is how she essentially found out that she was laid off. She went to the office, couldn't get access, and then had to drive home. I can't even imagine what was going through her head at that time. And if you have to drive, like, are you able to even concentrate on the road? So yeah, like, that's the very big difference that I would say I've seen between South Africa and being this side in North America. Fuel the Dream says, what is PTO? Personal time off. So if you're taking vacation from work, I was on personal time off from work. Let us move on to the next point that you can do, something you can do to help yourself prepare. And that is staying informed about the labor laws and worker rights in the country that you are planning to move to. This would also include any immigration changes, any changes in the laws that happen when it comes to your immigration status. Like, is there something that has changed? Just make sure you are keeping up with labor laws and keeping up with worker rights. The last point that I want us to talk about today is not staying informed. That is this particular point. But the last one is exploring skill development. And this, when I look at how the market is, or the industry is in the IT space right now, it is a very competitive space to be in if you are looking for a job, because there are so many talented people that have been let go from a number of companies. And one of the most important things you can do, and this is not just doing it after you are laid off, so while you are still working, make sure that you are keeping up with changes that are happening in your industry. If you are somebody maybe who's looking to pivot into something else, maybe it's related to your work, maybe it's not, you know what direction you want your career to take. So just make sure that you are upskilling either your existing skills or you are adding new skills. And when you are going through that interview process, you are somebody who really shows the passion and enthusiasm, and you can help yourself be more competitive with the knowledge that you will gain. So developing your skills is very important, and I highly suggest that you do it while you are working and not wait until you've lost your job to try and upskill yourself. Just make sure that it's something you are keeping up continuously. Tandai says, great points, Busi. I'm also based in GTA. And GTA, for anyone who doesn't know, is the Greater Toronto Area. And love your channel. Thank you for always sharing. You are very welcome, Tandai. Like, I think it's so important for us to have conversations that we don't generally have and might even think about, especially if you are doing something like migrating your entire life to somewhere else. And you could really be living in the same country where you just move from one province to another. But the fact that you have moved, you are far from loved ones. You are far from so many things that you know. There's a lot that's going on, and things can get very chaotic very fast. Like, if you have not looked into a bunch of things that, you know, could impact your life, either positively or negatively. So it is my pleasure. Murray says, thank you, Busi. Thank you as well for joining. Thank you for joining. Thank you for engaging with me. And if you have already moved, please do the, you know, just prepare yourself, look up things, make sure that you are prepared for anything that might happen. If you are still going to move, you still have time, and you can look into all these different areas so you know that you have prepared yourself and you don't have to get ready. So keep your life on track and make sure that you stay ready so you don't have to get ready if the unfavorable unforeseen does happen.
Help yourself make more informed decisions. Subscribe to the podcast and keep your life on track with me, your host, Busi Global. I'll see you on the next episode.